You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Almost every chair except the dentist chair, but I always kind of have a caveat to that, that you can see behind me over here. I have been to Haiti 3 times on dental missions where I was able to do extractions and fillings and things like that, which was super cool. So technically I did sit in the dental chair for a little bit. But I've done every role and so I feel like I have some credibility to what I say. And I've been there, I've sat in those chairs and I know the frustrations and the struggles. I've been with ACT Dental for 7 years. Can you believe that, Kirk?
That's crazy.
7 years.
Seven of 50 years. So like we got a long way to go. And
well, I'm older than you.
Hey.
But yeah, it's just been great. I love being able to coach teams and I love being able to make an impact on their lives and not just on the doctor's lives, but on the entire team. Because really we have to be for the team and for the patients and the practice as a whole and not be on sides against each other.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can bring that to my teams when I talk to them. And I have a lot of calls. In fact, today, already this morning, I had 2 calls with team members. I don't think I have any doctor calls today. I think it's all team members today.
Wow.
So,
yeah. And if you're listening, I hope you get a chance to meet Chris. Come to any of our events. If you come to Inner Circle or our divisional events, you're going to see she's awesome. Now, for a million reasons, but Chris is just one of those people that gets things done, and she's just a straight shooter. So today we're going to straight shoot. So if you're a dentist, you're like, I just want somebody to tell me what to do or just get me a line. Like she just shoots it straight. And so we coach a lot of practices, and Chris, you get a chance to oversee this. And let's talk about the problem, the schedule. Like, is this a big problem, a small problem, and why? Why is the schedule a big deal?
Well, it's a huge problem because everybody has their own idea of what a good schedule should be. And it depends on where you are in your career, where you are, you know, just in your ability to get patients in and see the right patients. And so there's often this huge struggle between the front and the back with regards to the schedule, and then even tighter between the doctor and the assistants, and hygiene is usually tapping their foot too, because they need the doctor's time. So it seems like it's easy to just like put patients in the schedule and just do dentistry and everything will work itself out, but it won't. And it has to be something that's done really strategically. And I think if you're saying that a lot of new dentists or even dental school students are listening, I would say from the very beginning, just create the schedule you want. Don't get sucked into thinking you have to throw everything into the schedule wherever it fits. Really create the schedule that you want. We had a really good opportunity, and some of our patients or some of our practices took advantage of it after COVID. They had no schedule. So they were able to start with a clean slate when they came back. And the ones who did that are now reaping those benefits. And the ones who panicked and just like came back and threw everybody back in the schedule again, they're, you know, it's a struggle and it's hard because there's a lot of people we still need to see, even after a year of, you know, a year and a half of being back, there's still a backlog of patients. And so we have to be able to manage that and also manage the sanity of our teams and the patients. And it's a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will tell you, every practice I coach, and I bet you the other coaches, I'm sure that they all have the same thing, at least at some point in the first 6 months or a year, at least, of coaching them, the schedule is a priority for two or three of those quarters.
Totally. And for so many reasons, like, I hope you're taking notes if you're listening, because this is somebody who makes it happen. And, you know, I mean, she coaches some incredible practices for us. And we say this all the time, time is the new rich. So if you're a young dentist, you might think, oh, I got all this time. There's a certain point where you wake up in your life and you don't have as much time. And if you're like me, you're 51, you're playing the back nine, you know, every day, every minute, every hour counts, and it is clicking. I was just talking to a dentist just a few minutes ago, and she's like, that whole toilet paper analogy, that got me. Like, it does go faster the closer you get to the end. When you start to have kids and things like this, the best kept secret of the rich in and outside of dentistry is time management. They understand where to put their time. And that's the first piece. And the second piece, you know, we're going to listen to Chris more than me, but the second piece is this: people have to fit into your schedule. I know it's hard when you get started, because if you're like me, you've been clinically diagnosed as a wuss and you try to say yes to everything. But there's a certain point where people have to come into your schedule instead of you trying to fit in everyone else's schedule. Right, Chris?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, do you know the three P's?
No, I don't. This is really fun, because I talk to Chris every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. We text all the time. We use WhatsApp. Like, I'm going to be learning with you guys. We're going to go through the three P's. So I want to know, all right, where do we start? You want to start with the first P, or you want to start with how these came up, or what do you want to do?
Well, I mean, they're just things that I've not noticed in my years of coaching and also being in the dental practice. I was, like I said, I was an assistant. I worked at the front desk. Then I went to hygiene school. Yeah. So I know what the schedule means to every single role in the office. And the three things that I keep coming up with when I coach teams is that they want three things, and all of them start with P. They want profitability, they want predictability, and they want the schedule to be productive.
Okay. So take
those three P's.
So which are super important. Okay. So I'm loving this. So which one do you start with?
So that is a great question. And I kind of toy with this, and it depends on the practice sometimes on where we start. So I like to start and say, like, if I had to pick one that is the most important one, I would have to say it's predictable.
I would agree.
Because from predictability, you will become profitable. You will have productivity in your schedule. And you're also going to have happy team members.
Yeah.
So I think predictability is probably the highest one on that.
Absolutely. And if you guys have ever been involved in franchising or any restaurant, they usually have like flagship stores. And what they often say, because I was a 3-time employee of the month at Applebee's, that's a different story, is like the flagship store would create a predictable set of systems. And what they could do is they could tweak them. So they would find the optimal setting. And that, Chris, I totally agree, because if you get the predictability fast, the higher the predictability in a dental practice, the happier the dentist. And then you can play with the predictability. You can go, well, I don't necessarily like prepping teeth on Monday because it's a little bit more of an aerobic day for me. Let's move my preps to Tuesday morning. You're still staying with the concept of predictability, where it's not chaos. Because think about this. We don't start with predictability. We're starting with chaos. And now we're just kind of a mishmash of everything. I love that. Right. No, right. Wait, go deeper on that. So I want you to describe. So, you know, people listen, you guys are listening to a lot of podcasts. What does predictability mean to a great coach? Tell me what that looks like.
To me, it means that we know when we start, we know when we break for lunch, we know when we end for the day.
Okay.
It means that we have done our due diligence and our homework to know that when I do a crown prep, 85 to 90% of the time, it's going to take me 6 or 7 units to do that. When I do a seat crown, it's going to take me 3. It, you know, and that you know, that has its own things. You know, is my lab good? What does my scanning look like? You know, right. So if you get that stuff predictable, then your seat crown appointment is going to be predictable. You should never have to schedule more than 3 units for that. 85% of the time, right? We know this is healthcare and there are things that come up, but just imagine if you could be predictable in 85% of your day, then those things that do come up are not going to cause the chaos that normally happens.
Yeah.
It's usually when everything else is running behind or, you know, somebody shows up late and we choose to see them and it's a choice. You don't have to see them. It's a choice to see somebody who comes in late. Or we notice that there's more treatment and the doctor is famous for saying, let's add more treatment today.
What are you saying? I don't know what you're saying. Like that never happens. It happens all the time. So
it's also about the patients that you choose to put into the schedule, right?
Right. Okay, wait. Go back to that. Wait, Chris, I'm listening. I practice in suburban Chicago. You don't know my practice. Like you're talking about this fairyland practice that probably is, you know, some, I don't know where you guys are all at, but like I'm in suburban Chicago, like it's traffic is bad here. So predictability and, you know, these patients that I have, they all have jobs. So like, I don't think that can happen in my practice. Can you speak to that?
People have jobs in Iowa too. And, you know, it's all about making sure that the people who you are serving are value what you do.
Yeah.
And so whenever I have a team that says scheduling is our priority and we want it to be predictable, we want it to be intentional and, you know, make sure that we do this, you know, in a strategic way. I always start them with patient identification.
Right.
Because that tells us exactly how we're going to design our schedule.
Yeah. So go and explain that though. What's patient identification?
So patient identification is a way to decide where and when you're going to put the patients in your practice into the schedule. And it's really about understanding who values what you do, basically. Do they pay on time? Do they show up on time? Do they bother to even call if they're not going to show up on time? Do they accept treatment? Are they patients who call us once every 3 years because they broke a tooth? So I think that we need to understand, you know, who we're putting into the schedule so that we can be predictable. Yeah. One of the things that I find offices doing is that they, you know, they are chasing people who don't want to be there and they're appointing people who don't want to be there. If you have a patient with a high track record of no shows or showing up late, why do we keep putting them in the schedule?
Yeah. They're dental stalkers. They stalk bad people.
They do. And it really does decrease the predictability. Yeah. If I want my schedule to be predictable, I want to put people in the schedule who I know are going to show up.
Totally agree. So, yeah. And I'm being a little facetious or maybe a lot of facetious, but you know, the bottom line is, again, if you're a dentist, you know, this, there are people that value what you do and there are people that don't. And when you spend your time with the people that don't, and it's mixed everywhere in your practice, it affects how you communicate with the people that do value what you do. So you just want to put your energy where it matters. You want over the course of time in 3 or 4 decades of practice, we're just going to go after the patients that value what we do. And you know how this works. When you put the right person that fits, that values what you do, they show up on time, they appreciate you, they like and respect you. And you know what happens as a byproduct? Your production goes up because you just enjoy who you are and you got less cancellations. I mean, there's 95 benefits of what you're talking about, Chris. And then,
And I quoted you on our masterclass last week that, you know, you have said that 80% of your production comes from your A patients and 80% of your headaches come from your C patients. And it's so true. We can almost always kind of trace back when there's an issue to the schedule or we ran late and somebody didn't get a lunch. It's because we let a C patient get into the schedule. Now, I'm not saying that they're bad people. They're fine people. They just don't share the values that the practice has. And we don't want to abandon them. We can see them, but we have to see them on our terms, not on theirs.
Yeah.
So they're great practice or they're great schedule fillers. So if I have an opening, maybe that's the list I go to. Somebody who, you know, who just doesn't schedule or we don't want them to schedule, I'll just call them and say, Mrs. Jones, I had a change in my schedule at 10 o'clock today. Are you free? And then if she comes in, great, then I've used her for that. But, and she got the care that she needed, but I don't want to count on her to show up when I've scheduled her 6 months ahead.
Bam. That's the truth. It, you know, these people aren't bad. It's just that as they don't do, we call them damaging dollars. I don't know who said that, but like, I like that is they're dollars that you're better off not collecting if they've canceled 11 times. They're not they're not bad people. They're just not valuing what you do. Now, if you look at any industry, because we often in dentistry get stuck in the whole dental thing, but I am an A member on Southwest. Now that means only I get free Wi-Fi. Who cares? But they know the people in this line spend a lot more and they value the service more. So they don't get treated any better. They just get priority seating. So the same thing applies to your practice. You want to give priority seating to the people that are your A patients. And if you do that over time, you'll be happier. And guess what? This P will probably lead to another P when you get predictable, won't it?
That's right.
What is profitable. It? What's your second one?
So, well, profitable, of course, because it is a practice. It is a business that right. we have to have. If we're not profitable, then you know, it doesn't matter what our schedule looks like because we're not going to be in business anymore. So we do have to consider that profitability. One of the things that I like to do is to have my doctors create an ideal day. So once they've done a couple of things with the schedule, they've created a patient identification system, and all of these resources are in ACTU. So if people listening are members of ACTU and they have access to those resources, great. Maybe we'll kind of put a couple of resources in this, in the link here or something, but yeah. I think that we can use that resource to make sure that we have patient identification in place and that everybody agrees to it, because the worst thing that can happen is we've got it going and then somebody is not on board, and usually it's the doctor, and then that kind of throws things out the window. Doctors, I'm also going to ask you, please do not give patients your cell phone numbers, because I've had this happen too, where I have my team is great. The team is aligned. They are following the patient identification. Everything's great. And they tell Mrs. Jones, who's canceled 7 times in the last 3 months, that we're going to put her out 6 months, and she calls the doctor.
Yeah.
How come you can't get me in sooner? So we all have to be on the same page when it comes to this system.
Yeah. Nobody screws anything up as much as the owner in any business. Chris, I've screwed more things up. And think about this. No one will ever make the mistakes that you make and stay as employed as long as you have. So like, don't do that. And if you're like me, you've been clinically diagnosed as a wuss, so you can't say no. So when anyone texts you because they're a friend of your friend or they know your spouse or whatever, you can't say no. You put yourself in a corner, and mm-hmm. what you do is you take away all the power that you're trying to develop with a team member. You have to have your team members' backs.
Yes.
Because when you don't have their backs, they want to stab you in the back. Like, and you know, it happens a little bit in every business, but over time you realize, no, I gotta support them. I gotta support. So don't ever give them power and then constantly take it away, because that'll just exhaust them. You gotta let them do their job. I love what you're saying, but okay, go one layer deeper. Like when you say profitable, okay, wait, you know, Chris, I got a lot of hygiene. I'm heavy in PPO. Like, where would I even start to think about profitable scheduling?
Well, I mean, first thing to start is to understand what you need to collect, right?
Right.
What is your break even point every month? And understand what you need to schedule
right.
in order to collect that. So if you're heavy in PPO, I'm really, really sorry. it's a tough thing to, I was just talking to Pat this morning about that, about like how there are certain areas of the country where Delta Dental is, and I don't want this to get into a Delta Dental conversation, but they're reimbursing like $75 for a prophy, but hygienists are making $63 an hour. Like, it just doesn't compute. There's
nope.
just no way to do it. But we have to understand what that point is. And then we have to make sure that our team is on board with that. A lot of times doctors are a little hesitant about talking about that with their team. They don't want to talk about money. They don't want to talk about numbers and goals and targets and things like that. But your team is there to help you. And you know, when we set that expectation that this is what we need, then they're gonna be there to do it, as long as we all agree that we're gonna do it, but we're not just gonna cram everybody in to make those dollars. We're gonna do it strategically and predictably and in a profitable way. So the first thing you wanna do is figure out how many days you're gonna work in a month or in a year, right?
Right.
And this goes back to a vision piece of ours is, you know, you have to schedule your time away from the practice before you do anything else so that you can look at your schedule and know I'm going to take 4 weeks off this year. So that leaves me this many days to work. I need to produce X number of dollars per day so that I can collect what I need to pay all the bills and maybe have a little bit, you know, coming in extra for things that we need.
Yeah. Brilliant. Now, don't let that amazing piece of advice just pass you if you're listening, because you think about this. You wouldn't do a case any other way. You wouldn't just pick up a drill and go, okay, let's do this crown. No. You would create a plan and then you would work the plan because you know how this goes. You don't right. diagnose or have a plan. You're just winging it and that's not going to work. Some dentists spend more time planning their vacations than they do planning their lives. You know exactly where you're going to eat at what time your flights leave. And then you ask a dentist, like, tell me your business plan. They go, what? Like, I don't know what you're talking, how many days? I don't know. Like, no, you got to know that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say is money is to your practice what oxygen is to your life. I get it. You didn't go into dentistry to talk money, but you still need to understand we need a sufficient amount of oxygen to survive. And being in a PPO practice, like, I don't want anybody to feel bad about that. You know right. this. There's not going to be a reckoning someday where PPOs go, you know, we feel really bad. Let's start giving back. No, you have to be better about how to schedule, what that means. And we're not here to damn any PPO program, but you know, when it floods your schedule and your team doesn't know how to get out of it, they are just tightening the screws on you. And your only option is more, like more ops, more patients, more procedures, while they take more and more off the top. So that's a tough game to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a dentist in the United States. You don't have to do it that way. And that's why the value of a great coach is so important, because you get these pieces right, you'll be crazy profitable in a way that you'll go, like, we know a dentist and his name is Bill and you coached him and he kicked and screamed and scratched. And then he's like, you know what? COVID came around and I'm like, you know what? I'm just done. And he got rid of his last insurance. And he's like, I make so much more money and I don't work as hard anymore. And we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they changed their hours too. And, you know, it's such a great, you know, I just love when I see offices living the life that they want. Right.
Absolutely.
And I say this all the time. And in fact, when I'm with a team on site and I've got a big post-it note for them, I'll draw a big circle and I'll write your life and then a little circle for your practice, because often it's the other way around. We're trying to fit our lives into our practice. And I get it. When you're a new grad and you've just bought a new practice, you have to sometimes scratch and scrape for every dollar. But, you know, I think if we look at it in terms of how do we want to set ourselves up for success for the long term, you have to start from the very beginning to create the practice that you want. Yeah. And we work with young dentists who are doing that now, and it's really great.
Yeah, fresh out of the gate. And I had cocktails with Sarah and myself at a young female dentist, and her name is Susan. She knows who she is. And she said to me while we were having cocktails, she's like, I just love my life. And this whole core values thing, this is no joke. And she works 7 to 3, and she'd be the first to tell you, I love this. Like, I love it. I love it. And she's taking her team to Mexico. And so all these accoutrements of success that everybody wants, we don't start with those. We start with the hard work of let's get this thing organized. Let's get you to be a better leader. Let's get your predictability and your profitability right in your schedule. And now you feel confident, strong. And this collective confidence adds all the way up probably to the third P. What's the third P, Chris, in scheduling?
It is productivity.
Okay.
So being productive. And you know, and that's where it becomes a tougher challenge when there are those PPOs, but you have to think about what does it mean to be productive. And oftentimes we think, oh, if I just keep putting stuff in the schedule, I'll be productive. But we have to be really careful about that too. We have to understand, are we doing work on people who don't know what their portion is going to be? Are we doing a lot of same day dentistry? That's one of the things I think is happening a lot with a lot of my practices right now. And I think it might be, off of COVID, people just feel like, well, they came in, they're here now. I don't have time for another 6 weeks. I'm just going to do it now. But you're getting yourselves into a little bit of trouble, not just with the team, but also with the patient. If you're rushing in to do that extra filling and not really stopping to let the patient know that you're doing this or to tell them and go over what the financials are, you might be doing that and you're not going to get paid on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So For me, I think you and I talked about this the other day, what would you rather have if you had a free hour, or do you want to have an hour where you do work on somebody that you're not going to get paid for? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, the production looks good. Production is great, but it's what you collect that is really important. So you have to think about it from that perspective. One of the things you mentioned about giving up things to your team and delegating and give them responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities I like to get my doctors to commit to in front of me and in front of their team is that they're going to give up control over same day dentistry and not just like do it on their own, because they look at their schedule and think, well, I'm good, I can do this, but they're not thinking about everybody else's schedule.
Yeah. But Chris, it takes me an hour. Everything takes me an hour. Just throw it right. Like, okay. Yep. They have no idea. I love what you're saying. Like, there is an opportunity with same day dentistry, but you can't you can't be the decision maker for everything. Right.
And I'm not saying, yes or no to incentives for this, but I do have a practice that does have incentives for same day dentistry so that, you're not getting into a situation where everybody's just going to say, no, don't do it because they want to, have a slower day and relax. But if there's an incentive to what we produce and collect on same day dentistry that everybody gets to share in, then that's a different story. So they're looking for those opportunities too, within reason, because as we mentioned earlier with patient identification, if we have, if we're spending time on somebody who doesn't value what we do and we're running late with them and doing things, we're running into a patient who's there, who showed up on time, who wants to pay for their appointment. And we're going to quickly turn those into patients who don't value us anymore because they're going to perceive that we don't value their time.
Absolutely. There's so many pieces in there I want to ask you about. Like, first of all, I hope you were listening very carefully because, again, with you're looking at productivity. The first thing I would say that I would just support you in that is so many dentists that we talk to, I go to the ADA or I go to any meeting and people go, I'm so busy, so busy. And then I go, it's crazy. They go, it's crazy. I'm like, busy is not a great word.
Right.
I like the idea of profitable, predictable, productive. Wouldn't you prefer a morning of productive dentistry instead of busy? And, and what that speaks to, and you also said like, don't, just work straight through and, have that time open instead of time open everywhere. That's where you as a dentist, remember, life goes fast. You can choose to work 7 to 3 straight through in most states without a lunch, and you can stack those preps at 7 o'clock. And I would much rather have you go home at 1 and have the openings at the end of the day. You guys all pick up your kids from school and you go, that was a crazy productive morning. And we did it the right way. So any other things you would add about productivity or productive scheduling?
Yeah. So one of the things I like to have my teams do is to debrief about the schedule. So I mentioned earlier, there might be some tools that we'll add into here, but one of them is a schedule analysis. And I think it's super important to understand what is happening in the schedule, and try to be proactive in the future, right? And so taking a couple of days, not just bad days, I want to also analyze and debrief and celebrate the good days, right? And think about like, why were they good days? What did we do different on these days that made us productive and profitable? And we all got out on time and everybody had a lunch, mm-hmm. or if you don't have a lunch, but So I love that activity. And I think that it's a great activity to do. It's the whole team can do it. Basically, you just take a couple of days from the last 2 weeks, a couple of good days, a couple of not so good days, and break out into groups and everybody take a look at the schedule and understand, you know, what happened here. Oh, well, we ran behind because no offense, doctor, but doctor put in another procedure, or we ran behind because Mrs. Jones showed up 30 minutes late for her 45 minute appointment and we still saw her, yeah. Right? Or hygiene was waiting for their exams, or, you know, whatever it was. So then from there, then we can start to make some new agreements about the schedule and then put those into play. And then hopefully moving forward, we do become more productive because we've taken the time to understand what is going to help us to be productive and where are we going to get those areas where, you know, where we can tighten up the schedule. You said it as a joke earlier, everything takes me an hour. And that may be what people think, but there are some things that only take you 40 minutes. So why are we scheduling an hour?
Right.
And you know, even as a hygienist myself, there are patients who don't need a full hour for their recare, right? If I have a patient with a full upper denture and a lower partial, I don't need a full hour. So why can't I kind of play Tetris with my schedule and try to be as productive as possible?
Yeah. Some people might not know what Tetris is. So look it up and you'll see it's a game we all played as a kid to get straight lines across the bottom. And the more you did, the better. But I love that game. And you said there's so many other things. I love, 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 love this debriefing and scheduling analysis because number one, think about it. You're not going to be talking, doctor. They're going to be thinking. They're going to be looking at what actually happened instead of you going, wah, 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 which is Charlie Brown's teacher. Every time you talk, they're going to actually have to embrace an activity and they can start to think. And the other thing that they're going to see is success leaves clues. Failure also leaves clues. You're going to see days that were a disaster and you can go, okay, that was horrible. And as you can see, not productive. How do we not do that anymore? Because again, you can make mistakes. But when you repeat them is when you go insane. And then the last piece of it is that now you can start to land the airplane and proactively fix problems before they start to happen. Because when I get a team of 13, 14 people, and you do too, Chris, and you've got some really big teams where you're like, okay, let's all get on the same page about how we create a better schedule. Now we're all working together, putting patients, we're pre-communicating with the patient. I'm going to take you up to the front. Now I'm going to tell you what happens at the front. We're going to do this procedure in the morning, and you're eliminating the whole, let me throw a grenade at the front and let them figure that out type of thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. And so you touched on something really important, that verbal skills are important with this too. Even if scheduling is your priority, you might not think verbal skills comes into play, but it does, because we have to know how to communicate where to put the patient, right? If we think about ourselves as professional schedulers, then we know where to put the patient. We know what's best for us. We just talked about how to create a productive and profitable day. Then I need to know where to put all of these patients. We have to stop letting patients put themselves in our schedule. Yeah. I don't like to hear, when would you like to come in? Because then that assumes that it could be any time, right? And I want to be really strategic about it. I want to make sure that my doctor, it feels really good about the day, and that by the end of the day, we've hit our production goals. So I've said before, I don't mind giving the patient choices, but those choices should be what I want. So we can do this Monday or next Monday. Mm-hmm. We can do 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And then they feel like they're picking, but really they're choosing two options that would be very good for me.
Yeah. Again, like this stuff is so good, Chris. And remember, you're guiding people into the schedule and you have to have a life. That's the big piece of this. In the process of you being confident about these three P's, you're going to be more profitable and more productive, and you'll have days that work together and they feel like days that work, and you'll wake up one day and go, I actually really like my days, you know, and instead of like, oh Lord, what just happened? So Chris, this is amazing. Now, I think it's a great idea to do the scheduling analysis. Like, how, okay, here's a question. What are you're a coach, what do you do? So I don't need a coach. Like, I don't need a coach. I've got all this, all these virtual platforms now. I know how to run a dental practice. What's a coach going to do for me?
So I think from my perspective, because I've worked in dentistry since the 80s and I've coached teams for the last 7 years and I've seen what best practices are. So we talked about the agreement. Sometimes it's hard when you're in the middle of it to look at the schedule and it's super close to you to understand where to put people and how to make those new agreements. So that's where your coach can come in and kind of help to facilitate those discussions and give guidance on what the agreements should look like. And also to hold you accountable to following those agreements.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big piece of it is the accountability piece.
It's huge. We call it punching in the face. No, and I mean that in a nice way. Like she'll just, in a good way, like not in a physical way, but Chris does that even to me. Like, listen, let's go, let's get this done. And there's an accountability piece for the doctor. Also, Chris can say things to your team you could never say, because if you say them, they're going to be like, who the heck does she or he think she is? Mm-hmm. But it works the same way in every family, every business. When an outsider comes in and goes, no, we're going to clean all this up and I want you guys to start talking like this. Everyone goes, wow, that's Chris. She really knows what she's talking about and she understands us. And you as a dentist go, I have been saying that for like 5 years. Well, she said it differently. And you also don't waste any time. We're not messing around for an hour talking about concepts and ideas. We're going to get this done. It's going to fit the vision of the practice. We're going to start making progress. And then we're going to go to the next layer of learning, whatever that is. So any last thoughts you have, Chris, on the whole schedule or how important it is in a dental practice?
I mean, I could go on for 3 hours, really, but no. I know we don't have time. I just think that when we are able to create the schedule that we want, it makes life so much better. I have one doctor. Well, I have a lot of doctors doing this, but I have a doctor up in Minnesota, and he has an ideal day on Tuesdays, and so his team is very clear, and he's very clear on the procedures he wants to do, on the times he wants to do them, and the patients he wants to do them on. And so, I'm so lucky because I speak to him every other week, and I speak to him on Tuesday after his ideal day, and every time I talk to him, he's like, Tuesday's ideal day was great. You know, he's in such a great mood because he had the best day ever. And all it took was a little bit of intention and a little bit of, you know, of background and understanding of what is going to create the best schedule. And it's not just that he's seeing these patients and he's doing these procedures. It's a super productive day for them.
Yeah. And if it's the same doctor I'm thinking about, which is, I like to think of it as layering confidence. So every time he talks to Chris, it's kind of like layering porcelain. You're making it stronger and stronger and stronger. And now he's getting ready to drop his last little bits of insurance, which...
Oh, he's done. He dropped August in October.
Oh, he dropped in October. So Chris is already ahead of it. But you can imagine what happens then. It's not about the insurance. It's the fact that the training wheels are now off the bike and he's enjoying riding the bike. And I'll tell you, he's making a lot more money, which wasn't the goal. It was just to do the dentistry. He knows he can provide for people.
Exactly.
And, you know.
And it's a byproduct. It really is. I mean, sometimes you get too focused on it and you can't see everything else that's happening. But, you know, we've been saying this for years, when you do the right thing with the right person at the right time, everything else will fall into place.
You're speaking my language. I freaking love it. So if you're listening, hey, number one, in the show notes, you're going to see all of Chris's contact information. We'll also list the scheduling analysis exercise. Just download it. It's a free resource. Go right to it. You can take a look at that. That'll help you start thinking a little better. It's a great team meeting. Some of you are like, well, I don't know what to do during a team meeting. Open that up during a team meeting, start that whole process, and it will be gold what you and your team learn together. And then if you still struggle, don't struggle forever. Raise your hand at dental.com. We are coaches. And so, you know, people go, I don't want to invest it. Well, if you don't want to invest in coaching, that's just silly or ignorant or negligent. I can't decide. Like, you're just going to waste hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours of your life trying to figure it out. And here's the only bad part about dentistry. The bad part about dentistry, there's only one, is you have to work on human beings in most cases for it to work. And so you're not... a true entrepreneur in the sense that you can just shut down for 4 days and go, you know what? I'm just going to spend 4 days improving all of our processes. And no, you are pretty much flying the airplane. So routinely, you're going to have to land it, and having a good coach run a great meeting, it'll create confidence for everybody. And everyone will say, I like working here. So that's it. That's like a huge byproduct. So Chris, thanks for being on today. I really appreciate
it. Sure. It was super fun.
Well, super fun. And you know, I'm going to have Chris back over and over and over again. You're going to see, like, I am the least smart guy here. I'm just my,
not true.
It's absolutely true. Your goal is to do what I mean, I'm not the smart. One of my things is just to surround myself with great people who are really smart, fit our core values. And you just do that every day. So Chris, thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, just do me a favor. Just hit the share button. I can't even talk. It's a Thanksgiving tomorrow. You hit the share button. Share this episode with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see. I'll line up all of our brilliant coaches and we will bring you answers.
Great.
Yeah. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.